response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I'm sorry, it's been a minute. We're going to need an update on the explosive watery diarrhea.
Oh, it's coming. There's no stopping that train.
People got mad at us last week for making fun of that. I'm not making fun of the fact that 22 people have gotten sick in Kansas.
Thousands across the country.
I think Douglas County was the nearest to us. I was laughing about the man that they interviewed in Dan Weinbaum's story about this because he seemed so joyful.
Oh, this was the medical professional. This wasn't just some random guy.
He's talking about it like I would talk about the flowers in my garden.
Explosive watery diarrhea.
Okay.
Also incredibly redundant. We don't need the explosive or the watery. We know how diarrhea works.
I don't think we do.
It runs in your genes.
It does run in your genes, Sam. Thank you for that. Then we have a woman over the weekend. It was a woman. Who is it? The Guinness Book of World Records, Sam?
It is, yeah.
She is now number one in the loudest and or longest burp from a woman.
It was the loudest by decibel.
I thought we were still talking about the other thing.
Okay. Was that it?
No, that wasn't the actual one that got her. This is a little highlight clip that she put together of herself because she's very proud of her ability to force gas.
As she should be.
Out of her throat.
Oh my God.
I just broke the world record for women's loudest burp.
Okay. Okay.
Oh my.
Her name is Kimberly Winter.
So this is the one that set the record right here.
Okay.
With 107.2.
Okay, 107.2 or 3 decibels is what I'm reading. Breaking the Guinness World Record for the loudest belch by a woman.
She's almost as loud as the Arrowhead.
I was going to ask you, give me like some sort of baseline. What is 107.3 decibels? Is that like jet engine? Is that
lawnmower maybe?
Yeah, lawnmower. Maybe a chainsaw.
Looking now, things that are 100 decibels, a subway train,
okay,
a chainsaw,
louder than some motorcycles at full throttle,
a weed eater,
gas riding mowers,
a jet flyover from a distance. Why are you even offering me that?
She had an iced coffee,
a nightclub,
a breakfast sandwich from Dunkin', and one beer as a backup before she went and tried to break the
record.
And
the whole audience knows what she drank and ate.
See, she went there to burp, and what she ended up with was
explosive watery diarrhea.
Whoa.
What a combo that meal was.
Oh, yeah. Something. Speaking of combo meal, a woman has been arrested and charged in a McDonald's drive-thru after allegedly slapping the man in front of her.
Oh, hell yeah.
For taking too long to get his food. I'm not going to defend what this woman did, but I do want to have this discussion real quick. A New York woman is accused of slapping a man in front of her at the McDonald's drive-thru for taking too long to get his food. Mm-hmm. A 39-year-old Constance Cota is charged with second-degree harassment. Police say Cota was a passenger in the vehicle waiting in line behind this man.
Well, she can't disrupt the rest of the line.
Well,
you know?
It was 12:43 a.m., Sam.
Driver's got to stay in the driver's seat.
It was after midnight.
It was after midnight. Mm. Nothing good ever happens after midnight. And it was taking a while. She allegedly got out of her car, walked up and around to the car in front of her, slapped the driver in the face, and said, hurry up and get your food.
Mm.
McDonald's manager reported the incident to police. They tracked her down. There's surveillance video, whatever. She's in trouble.
Well, did the guy hurry up and get his food?
Here's what I'm going to say about
this.
Did
it work?
What?
I feel like there are times, because in a drive-thru, you're trapped once there's a car behind you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the bumpers that trap you in there.
Uh-huh.
Once you commit and you're in that lane, for the most part, you're trapped. There are some chains that don't work that way.
But and if you're in a hurry, tensions get high.
here's what I'm going to say. There are times when the person in front of you, sometimes driving a minivan, sometimes not, where it goes on
forever
and on and on. And then the food, they, okay, finally they're getting the food. Then there's the checking of the food.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a back, there's a fourth, there's a back, there's a fourth. I'm not saying it's okay what she did.
Oh, can we get more napkins?
I am not saying it's okay, but we've all been there where it's like, what are you doing?
Is it time for like a retrain where we kind of treat the drive-through like the express lane
yes.
at the grocery store?
You have to know what you're doing.
Because I used to frequent the drive-through Panera down here next to Johnson Drive
Ooh.
Pretty often for a salad. And there was a number of times that I would hop in that drive-through line and the people would get up to the window and hand over like 8 bags of food through
no.
the drive-through window.
No.
That is not a drive-through order. That is a catering order.
Go
they do
inside.
Yeah, just pop inside and grab your order. Why do mm-hmm. I have to wait 20 minutes for your 9 bags of food?
Act like you've been here before.
But people don't think that way.
You guys been following the story about the Folly Theater and the vandalism?
Yes.
Okay. If you missed it, a group of vandals caused $500,000 in damages to the Kansas City Theater in 11 minutes. Okay? Have you heard that someone told detectives he was offered $500 to enter the building and let the fire extinguishers loose? Someone paid someone or offered to pay someone $500 to go inside after hours, break into the Folly Theater, and do all of that damage in 11 minutes. Kansas City police happened to be in the area when it happened, saw the shattered front door, went inside. As many as 6 fire extinguishers were discharged throughout the building. TVs, monitors, liquor bottles destroyed, according to the Folly. And the damages are $500,000. He has now been arrested. The vandal and or the person who, because I think there was more than one of them, took the $500 to go in and vandalize the Folly. No one has said why. Why would you pay someone? And I'm not asking mm-hmm. you to get into the mind of an idiot criminal here. Why would you offer someone $500 to not only go in and cause that kind of damage, which you're going to go away for a long time at $500,000 damage.
Right.
Why would you accept that money? Like, what did the Folly do to you?
You know how much meth $500 can buy?
Sam.
This seems like a case of revenge.
I think
possibly.
So, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Like, disgruntled for some reason, I'm not going to, like, we can all just let your mind wander.
Somebody and just hiring somebody off the street? Hey,
you would,
$500.
You would not randomly pay someone $500 to go inside of a business and destroy that business. I don't care what business we're talking about. That is too high profile
yeah.
of a crime for $500 unless there is some rage going on there.
Now, the person who accepted the money, you know.
Drugs whatever.
Are expensive.
You yes,
gotta, you
drugs
gotta get
are expensive.
Drugs somehow.
But for the person who said, I'm going to pay you $500, was it a disgruntled employee? Was it someone scorned at the altar? Like, I don't, no one will say why.
Still being investigated.
No, no one's asked, Dan. This is why I get annoyed.
Well,
my reporter brain just annoys me because I would say, no. We're not going to talk about the damage. Why the hell would someone pay someone $500 to do that to the Folly? What happened? It's either going to be someone scorned or someone feels slighted in some manner for something.
Or insurance or...
That was my other thought.
I don't think insurance. That's too easy, isn't it?
Insurance fraud.
I've always said I want to be an insurance fraud investigator. I want to follow the people around who are golfing and skydiving
right.
who claim that they... have back issues.
I saw you put that heavy box into your trunk.
I would be so good at it. I would jump right out of that bush and be like, I'm sorry. I thought you had sciatica. 913-586-7798. We're back with much more on Dana and Parks after this.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. I cannot stand brutal fighting MMA things. I cannot. It's not my thing. I don't understand it. I don't understand why we champion it.
Some people just can't watch it.
Let alone the fact that apparently 18 months ago, the person at the center of this story was ordered to pay civil damages to a woman who accused him of rape.
Yeah, he's a horrible human being.
We have to talk about what happened over the weekend because there could very well be an FBI investigation into what happened.
So I'm a huge fan of the UFC. I was very much looking forward to the fight card Saturday night. Patty Pimblett, what a submission. That was incredible. Pimblett, however you say his name.
It ended in what, 20 seconds or something?
Well, Patty's fight ended super quick. It was like a minute and a half, something like that. But the real fight that is under contention, that is controversial, is what happened with Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor, he's got a decent record, but he really became flashy because of his fighting style and the way that he was able to knock out his opponents, who appeared to be much better than him. He appeared to be the underdog in a number of his fights, and just because he was vicious, I'll use that term, he was able to come out on top and kind of skyrocketed to become the face of the UFC. He has since returned for two fights. From a semi-retirement, whether that was the UFC retiring him or him retiring because of different fight contracts that he took from other organizations, drug use, getting in trouble with the law.
So, of course, the FBI doesn't care about it. FBI doesn't care about any of that.
What they care about,
they care about is the gambling.
Is the fact that he came back for another fight and hopped in the ring, and within 69 seconds, so his first attack was a high kick trying to kick Max Holloway in the side of the head. Max Holloway stepped back. McGregor missed and went down to the ground and fought from his back for a few seconds. He tried to get up twice and just could not put any weight whatsoever on his right leg. The fight had to be called. That's okay. A medical decision. Holloway took the fight. The issue and why people are calling for an FBI investigation is because 92% of the bets placed on the Conor McGregor-Max Holloway fight were for Conor McGregor to win the fight.
He attracted 92%. The overwhelming amount of betting support from fans who believed that his experience and popularity would help him secure a comeback victory.
Now, since Saturday night, the internet has taken this and ran with
it. Yeah, they're looking for signs that he would have known going into the fight he was injured.
I've seen people on Instagram zooming in on the video of him taking his shoes off before getting into the ring.
Look at the way he's putting that shoe on or trying to put the shoe on. He's not putting any weight.
Yep, he puts down his toes down on his right leg and not his full foot. They're trying to come to the conclusion that he was injured before the fight. That's why he got injured so early, and it was all rigged.
So here's
McGregor
my question.
McGregor doesn't care because he gets $30 million no matter what at the end of the day. The UFC doesn't care because they get tons of money for the promotion.
But all the bettors are out the money.
Yep.
Here's my question. If you know going into a fight, let's not even make this about MMA. Let's make it about like a Mike Tyson. If you know going into a fight you are injured, is there some law that you have to disclose that because of the gambling tied to the fight?
I think as a fighter, you want to keep that as hush-hush as possible. As long as you as the fighter are not actively gambling on yourself, which I think they would have restrictions against.
So, but then why is the FBI investigating? He legitimately could have been hurt, and I'm not saying he wasn't. Then just doesn't say anything.
To be clear, the FBI is not investigating yet. Oh, there's just calls for them to investigate.
Screaming calls for them to investigate because of the way the betting went down.
The argument would be that somebody, maybe somebody in McGregor's camp, maybe somebody at the UFC, anybody knew that this was happening and didn't report it. The same goes with the NFL.
Do you have to report it?
Not as the fighter.
But someone would.
If you're part of the UFC, that's a great question. I don't know how the betting laws would play in there, but I would think so, considering
because
the fact
that
fighting has long been one of the most rigged sports out there.
You're betting on, let's say, horses. It doesn't even matter, but you know that there is no way
right.
this horse or this athlete is going to be able to perform because they have a torn meniscus, let's say, because that's what people are saying it looked like he had. You know that. You don't say anything. I think there has to be some rule about that because of the gambling. You are then asking people to put their money down and wager that this horse is going to do great when you know there's no way that horse has a blown knee. It's not even going to make it out of the gate.
You could also argue there's fraud involved because the UFC is capitalizing from McGregor's name. So more eyeballs on the stream. More value from the tickets being sold to be in the arena. If you ever watch one of these cards, you'll notice that the seats are basically empty. They don't even show the crowd until like the last two fights of the night because the people that go there are only there to see whoever's on the last card.
BetMGM states that this matchup became the most heavily bet MMA event in the company's history.
It was McGregor's great return.
Yeah, highlighting how much interest surrounded his return. This was such a big deal over the weekend that we were just trying to check out at the store, and the two clerks that were behind the counter, one of them just goes, "Oh my gosh, did you watch the McGregor fight last night?" And then they start having this entire conversation about it. And like, what is the big deal? Then I saw the FBI might. People are calling for an investigation. But my question is, if he lied, or if his camp lied or his team lied, is someone going to go to prison for that? I mean, you really should not be able to go out and perform injured if you know you're injured or your camp knows you're injured and trillions of dollars are being thrown down on something like this.
I think the UFC would be the only ones that are really liable.
If they knew.
Because as a fighter in their camp, again, they want to keep that information disclosed because you're allowed to fight with a minor injury. If your wrist is hurting, if you've got a sore shoulder, you're still allowed to go in and fight.
Or play football, whatever.
Well, if the opponent happens to know that, what are they going to do? Oh, his right shoulder's sore. I'm just going to punch his right shoulder over and over and over again until he gives up. So the idea that he wouldn't tell anybody or that his camp wouldn't tell anybody makes complete and total sense to me. But if the UFC knew, I feel like they had some obligation to say. But by that point, they have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars on the line.
Right. All that money would have to go back. You would have to say he is injured and all of that money would have to go back.
The same thing happened in his previous fight where he tried to do a low leg kick and shattered his calf or his shin. That was a bunch of stress fractures. Did he have an X-ray that said he had stress fractures prior? Absolutely. Did the UFC know that? I don't know, but there weren't any calls about it being rigged then because we saw his leg literally wrap around his opponent's leg and everybody was like, yeah, he's too hurt to fight. I think it's the way this one went down. He looked super healthy. He didn't even fight at all in the first place. It looks sketch.
913-58. Phones are ringing on this. This is what you want to talk about today? Seriously? Did you put money down on this thing? 913-586-7798. We'll take your call straight ahead. His manager, by the way, is saying that his client did not have a previous knee injury, that they had drilled that same maneuver, I guess, that he did when he crumbled multiple times in warm-up, and there was never an issue.
They did release a video of him in warm-up doing that exact kick over and over and over again. Internet sleuths also apparently found a video of him walking into some pain clinic a few days before, but... Again, to the point that John's about to make, that's not uncommon in the fighting world.
No, they're all going to be in pain, right? And have concussions and all of those things. Hey, John, go ahead.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Not much.
Listener, first time caller.
Oh, welcome on in.
Yeah, McGregor, that was just something, man. I mean, I'll tell you what, just to lead it off, when you take 5 years off MMA and you expect to come back against one of the elite fighters in 145 of all time, it's not going to go the way you plan it. I mean, I'm sure nobody planned an injury in the first 10 seconds, but these guys, they come in and out of training camp so banged up and pushing their bodies so hard. It's almost a given that somebody's going to be hurt to some extent, no matter whenever they fight.
But to the point that you crumple right out of the gate?
I know, and it looks bad. And I mean, to kind of piggyback off that too, I've kept up with that betting line ever since they announced this fight a couple months ago. And McGregor's fluctuated from as high as plus 350 to. I think he closed at like plus 250 the fight night. There was a lot of really weird movement on that line. So, I mean, I get the calls for investigation, but again, the UFC, to the point Sam made, fighting is just one of those things where it's like it's got a history of corruption. I don't know.
And are we ever going to know? Probably not. By the way, he's, I guess, getting an MRI this week. Doctors have speculated it's a torn ACL or torn meniscus in his right knee.
Which, if that meniscus pops or that ACL goes in the middle of a fight and you're trying to then apply pressure on it, I mean, he couldn't even apply pressure to it. He was absolutely injured. Whether or not there was injury before, I don't know if that makes it fraud. I don't know if that makes it corrupt. Just a guy who thinks that he's still got it, who doesn't really have it anymore.
The one thing I would say about fraud is that I do believe the men who participate in that kind of activity, you have to be almost an extreme narcissist in some respects.
Oh, absolutely.
You've seen the showboating, and yeah. I would say the same for some boxers. Anyone in that violence of sport, I think their egos are so gigantic. It's the only way I would think that he would not throw a fight or go in injured. No, you know what I'm saying? Like where he's, I do believe a little bit that he was actually injured because I think their egos are so gigantic. It would not allow him to throw something.
Well, and to be clear, specifically with Conor McGregor and his first leg injury 5 years ago and then his leg injury now, in both instances, he continued to talk smack and encourage the other fighter to continue fighting.
How old is he?
His late 30s. In the first one, his shin was literally broken in half. It wrapped around his opponent's leg. I can't remember who he was fighting.
It's disgusting.
And he was laying on the floor like, come on, keep hitting me. What are you doing? Like, nah, dude, you're done. You're done.
Absolutely
it's over.
Disgusting.
I don't think there's going to be an FBI investigation. This is just the way that the sport works, and that's how the UFC works. You get big names on the card, people tune in, and if the fight lasts 69 seconds, it only lasts 69 seconds.
And there we are. Did you guys see the video of the man at Yellowstone who started out on the ground and then ended up like 20 feet in the air?
It's a man. Have you seen it?
Have you seen the video or just the still photo, Sam?
I have seen both the video and the still photo.
You guys, I'm telling you this right now. When you're in a safe place, like later tonight, and you can open a laptop.
This guy was a grandpa.
Look at the video because it's one thing for us to tell you what happened. It is the most terrifying game of hide and seek I have ever seen. And the whole thing is caught on tape because there's a photographer there. And the photographer is there to get photos of the bison at Yellowstone when this bison goes full on bison. This is from CBS News.
Photos of the bison.
A man was seriously injured after being tossed up into the air by a bull bison at Yellowstone over the weekend. This says the animal clearly agitated. Okay. Go back. What you're going to see in this video, you guys, is he is doing a dirt roll. Like, have you ever seen your dog just drop to the ground in the mud and
just roll around
on their back? And they go, and they're just loving life.
Almost like they're scratching their back.
Yes. This is what the bison is doing. The bison looks like a gigantic dog or cat that we've all seen do this, which to me, they're happy when they're doing that. They called it a dust bath, whatever. He looks very happy to me for a minute. Then he gets up and there's this white truck that drives by and the bison is standing now and he kind of looks at the white truck and then he turns to the right just a little bit and sees this older gentleman with his grandson like 80 yards away, I would say. Like they're a safe-ish distance away. They're not idiot tourists trying to take a selfie with the thing. Like they are far back.
No.
They're still, they're not making a lot of noise. Then all of a sudden,
they were off in the tree line.
That bison just goes nuts. Like full on charges at this old guy. What's terrifying is that he tells his grandson, run.
Right.
And the grandson, he looks like 12, 13 years old. He's out of the picture. Thank God. the grandpa then like goes into this tree line and is weaving in and out of the trees, trying to, quote, hide from the bison.
You got a zigzag.
The bison is having none of it.
Yeah.
The bison goes left. The grandpa goes right. Then the bison goes right. And you can see him. He's running around trying to save his own life. It is the scariest thing I have ever seen. The guy that filmed it, by the way, is Mike McLeod.
The headline says he was thrown 8 feet in the air. That looks like
more than
8 feet.
It looks way higher than that. A professional photographer who happened to be at the campground, he said he eventually stopped taking photos and helped chase the bison away after it had knocked the grandfather over.
Captured it first. Gotta get the picture first, man.
He said, I charged at the bison, yelled and screamed, kind of been trying to put my camera up in the air. A bunch of other men joined me, and we successfully hazed the bison off the victim, or this guy would have been dead. Those things weigh like 2,000 pounds.
From the text line, that bison said, bye, son.
Bye, son. This is what I'm going to leave you with here.
He is okay, by the way. Had a few broken bones.
I don't know
how. Went to the
hospital. Yellowstone visitors are asked to remain 25 yards from wildlife like bison, elk, bighorn, sheep, deer, moose, and coyotes. Here's what I don't understand.
25 yards.
25 yards. Sam, that's from me to you right now. There is no way in hell.
We're not even close to 25 yards apart.
I would get 25 yards. I would not be 100 yards.
Yeah.
This guy, if I had to guess.
I'm going to go back and watch the video again.
Go back and look at it again. I think he's at least 80 yards away.
Well, when the bison is doing the dust bath thing, he is easily over 100 yards away.
I thought so, too. Think of a football field. It looks like about a football field.
And they're being smart. They're behind a dumpster. They're off in the distance taking a picture. This is in the middle of a populated campground, by the way. There are other people much closer to this bison. I don't know what he had for this grandpa.
It could be what you're wearing. No, it could be the beard. It could be anything, Sam.
But yeah, as you mentioned, he goes off into the trees, and it takes a good 15, 20 gallops, if you want to call it that, from this bison to get over to the man. And he is just launched into the air.
Okay.
And we talk about it all the time, as you mentioned, the people that try to get up super close to him and take a selfie. And, you know, that's just nature being nature.
No.
I guess this is also just nature being
nature.
That's
why I said, when they're saying stay 25 yards away, that is nowhere near long enough. Because when this thing decides to run, it's in seconds he's on that guy.
This is very common. My family and I went camping through Yellowstone when I was much younger. I can't remember exactly how old I was. But I got up in the middle of the night. Walked out of the camper, went to go do my business as a young boy would do at a campsite. I just picked a random spot in the darkness, and there I am peeing. And it was pitch black outside, so to this day I have no idea how close this thing was to me. But I heard the aggressive exhale. You know the.
Oh yeah, no, no.
And I'm not even kidding you. I stopped peeing. I froze. And I just backed back into the camper like, I'm not going to die today.
I don't even want to know what it is.
And that thing had to be 10, 15 feet from me. It was insane. You assume the risk, and sometimes nature gets you. I'm glad he's okay.
Speaking of terrifying, you guys, I have been saving my run, do not walk all day for you. It was so scary, I could not go to sleep last night. It is on Netflix. It is called Shipwrecked, Nightmare at Sea. Shipwrecked, Nightmare at Sea. We watched it last night, and I could not go to sleep. It is the true story, documentary. Back in 2012, thousands of people are on board this gigantic cruise ship. I think they were in... It was an Italian cruise ship. I don't remember exactly.
Costa Concordia.
Yeah, Costa Concordia. They were near the Tuscan island of Giglio when it happened. And if you see the photos, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I kind of sort of remember that. The ship decides to get too close to that island. It goes full Titanic. Like, the rock hits it under the water. Like, it's legit. Think Titanic, but yeah. This happened more recently. When we know way better than to get that close to an island. And then for the next hour, the captain basically just keeps lying to everybody.
As it just slowly.
They have the black box. They have the audio. Oh my God. They have all kinds of interviews from people who survived. And not everyone survived. But they have interviews from people who did survive. about the disaster of just trying to get onto a lifeboat. And I want to talk about it a little bit when we come back, and here's why. When the you-know-what hits the fan, if you are in law enforcement or you've just seen a lot of weird stuff in your life like I have in your life, there are certain people that when you first arrive somewhere, you are the kind of man or woman, you look where the exits are.
Right.
You look at the lifeboats.
That's what I do.
You try to figure out, all right, if something happened, if the unthinkable happened, what would we do, right? And in this story, there are two camps of people. I'm just going to tell you right now. There are the camps of people that sit back like sheep and wait for direction that is never coming, because guess what? Even the staff freaks out. It is not orderly. There is no, we need everyone to do this, and then you're going to get on a lifeboat and women and children first. There are two camps of people. People that sit around and wait to be told what to do.
Okay.
And then passengers who just decide, like, let's roll. This is what we're going to do.
We're taking action.
And this is one of those documentaries that will force you to ask yourself, which person am I? Because I'll tell you who survived and what camp they were in, and the people who didn't survive and what camp they were in. I think we always want someone wearing a uniform, even a chef on a cruise ship. Tell me what we're supposed to be doing. And in that moment where things go so south so quickly and the ship starts listing 20 degrees and then it's 30 degrees and then it's 40 degrees.
And you're people, so close to shore.
People are still waiting for directions, Sam, yeah. And it's in the middle of the night and the water is cold. People had babies on board that thing. We're going to talk about it when we come back. Why do so many people have to have somebody telling them when your life is on the line, telling you what to do, instead of just saying, we're getting out of here? 913-586. We'll play the trailer for you when we get back. 7798. I could not sleep last night. I said, not for me. Not ever going on that boat. We'll talk about it right after this. Stay with us.
If you could take a moment, head to KMBZ.com and help us out with our school supply drive. Foster Adopt Connect doesn't just help kids survive the system, they help them thrive beyond it. From life skills to tutoring to emergency placement and family support, we're building a better future for kids in care. Join KMBZ in partnership with Pinnacle Bank in supporting the important work at Foster Adopt Connect. You can sponsor a backpack for just $35 or donate new school items, pencils, notebooks, and more. Learn how to get involved at KMBZ.com and look for the school supplies link on our homepage. KMBZ.com, look for the school supplies link. You can make a monetary donation there or drop off new school supplies at one of three locations. All the details on the link. Together, we can give kids a strong start to the school year.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I could not go to sleep last night like a crazy woman because this thing scared the hell out of me.
How did 4,000 people start out on that boat and only 32 lost their life?
4,000 people started out on the boat. That is true. 4,000 people should have gotten off that boat alive.
Oh, absolutely. But
every single person should have. This wasn't like a missile hit it and it just sank. This was a series of the worst criminal decisions.
Yeah.
Right after a rock put a 174-foot gash in the ship's port side. I'm going to say that again. A 174-foot gash.
And it just slowly started
how
sinking.
How long do you think you have before that thing? We've all seen Titanic, right? It just is the worst response to an emergency you've ever seen. The Coast Guard calls the captain and says, hey, we're getting 911 calls here and people are saying, are you all right? And the reply is, oh, Yeah, we're on it. We're just trying to see exactly what happened here. We got an electrical problem. Instead of sending help immediately, it is cover your own blank every single step of the way. And we might talk about this when we come back, and here's why. The human behavior that you see in an emergency. And I'll say it again, the camp of people that just figure out we're on our own, nobody's going to help us. We got to figure out how to get off this boat.
I'm jumping off and swimming home.
Versus everybody waiting for direction when the whole staff on that ship is white as a ghost, crapping their pants because they don't know what to do, right? It is called Shipwreck. It is on, I think it is the most watched movie right now in documentary on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
We're going to talk about this coming up on the show.
I can't
get it out of my head because I want to know, like, who are you and what would you do?
I'm jumping.
We'll talk about that, Sam. You've got a life jacket. Why wouldn't you just jump into the water?
Life jacket or not, I'm jumping.
913-586-7798. Quick break for the news with Dan Weinbaum, and we'll be back with much more straight ahead on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.